Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning the biblical secret to being content.
People full of the Spirit are positive, thankful. They are people full of faith, generating praise and thanksgiving. And even though they may be going through the darkest trial, they do not lose their contentment. That's people full of the Spirit.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and also Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Do you struggle with being content and feeling grateful for where you are and what you have? Well, the truth is sometimes our circumstances aren't so great and it doesn't seem like we have much to be grateful for. But in yesterday's program, Mark began to explain that being content doesn't have anything to do with our circumstances. So if you'd like to stop feeling disgruntled and dissatisfied in life, and you want to unlock the biblical secret to contentment, today's message from Mark Jobe is just what you're looking for. It's a lesson simply titled, Finding Contentment, and it starts right now.
God is not the author of every tragedy that happens in life. God is never the author of evil, never. James is very clear about this. God doesn't tempt people for evil. God never performs evil. God never brings about evil. It's never God's will that evil will happen. Never say, well, it must have been the will of God, because God's will never involves evil happening to us. However, God is able to take even the worst evil circumstances and turn them around and use them for his purposes, although he's not the author of those evil purposes. Do you understand that? There's a difference. Someone takes a glass and they drop it and they break it and there's pieces shattered all over. And yet the master craftsman says, I can create something even out of the broken pieces because there's nothing beyond my power to control. Ultimately, God fulfills his purposes. When you understand that God is in control, when you understand that you can trust the sovereignty of God, when you understand that you may not understand the hand of God, but you trust the character and the heart of God, that God is good, that God is sovereign, that God has a purpose and a plan, that in the end, God wins, and in the end, the evil receives its justice and good receives recompense, that in the end, God is sovereign over all things. There's a sigh of relief in your heart where you say, okay, God, you are in control. Let me tell you, there's no more discontented place to be than feeling like you are in control of all of life. You say, well, Pastor, I like to be in control. Well, let me give you a news flash. You're not. Oh, there's certain things you can control. And there's certain things that are your responsibility. But big news flash, you are not in control of life. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm in control. I'm in control of my finances. I'm in control of my health. I'm in control of my relationships. I'm in control of my destiny. Oh, you're a fool. Seriously, you're not in control. Do you realize that in one moment you could die of a heart attack? Do you realize that in one sweep your company can go under? Do you realize that in one moment people that are closest to you could be hit and die in a car crash? Do you realize that everything that you've worked for could be wiped out in a second? Never think that you are in control, because you are not in control. A control is only an illusion, but there is someone that is in control. His name is the Sovereign God of the universe. You see, we become very discontent when we try to control things that only God is meant to control. And you say, well, Pastor, how can I begin to put in practice some practical steps to help me stay in a position of contentedness? Well, I'm going to give you a couple practical steps to learn contentedness, because remember, contentment is a learned thing. As we wrap things up, let me just give you a couple daily practices. Number one, determined to give thanks each day, no matter what your circumstances. You say, Pastor, are you serious? I mean, do you know my circumstances? You really expect me to give thanks for this husband? This one? I mean, maybe if I had a new one, I could give thanks, but I'm supposed to thank God for this guy? Seriously? No, you must not know my husband. Maybe I don't know your husband, but I do know what God says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Some of you are coming to me and you're saying, Pastor, I want to know the will of God. I'm just confused. This way, that way, over here, over there. Oh, what is God's will for my life? Listen, I'm not sure that God is going to drop a little note from heaven giving you exactly what house you should choose and what street you should live on, but I do know this. Without a shadow of a doubt, that God's will has been revealed as you face circumstances and decisions and situations. And 1 Thessalonians tells us that it is God's will. It is God's will that you give thanks in all circumstances in Christ Jesus. That I know that it's God's will right now that you say, thank you, Lord. In other words, it's God's will. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, you give God thanks in the midst of your circumstances. You start saying, thank you, Lord, that I can't control it, but you can. Thank you, Father, that you are still good. Thank you, God, that you are still on the throne. Thank you, God, that you have a purpose and a plan. Thank you, Lord, that although I can't be there 24 hours a day watching over my son or my daughter, that your Holy Spirit can watch over them. Thank you, Lord, that the seeds that I've planted will not be gone to waste. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the good works that we have done are not in vain. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that though I sleep, you never sleep. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you see into the future. And thank you, God, that you are good and good will come my way. God, I thank you in advance. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very clear, who do we give thanks to? God the Father, because he's sovereign. In whose name do we give thanks? In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son, that gives us access to the Father. You see, there's something that happens when you give thanks that forces you to focus on the character of God and on the positive things of life. It's learning contentment. Thanksgiving causes you to go to the places that you are grateful for. Some people spend so much time complaining that all they see in life is the negativity. All they see in life is the bad. They're blinded to the good because they've spent so much time complaining about the bad. And so their life becomes darker and darker. They become more and more discontent. They focus on what they don't have rather than on what they do have. They focus on what is wrong rather than what is right. They go into depression. They become discontent. They become unhappy in life. And part of Scripture tells us that we learn contentment by focusing on those things that we need to give thanks for. We find something to give thanks for, and we thank God for it, and we do it in the name of Jesus Christ, because God is sovereign, and Jesus Christ has given us access to the Father to bless him and to thank them. We have a position before the Father because of the work of Jesus Christ. You will never be content unless you learn the practice of thanksgiving. And by the way, can I tell you that the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that being filled with the Spirit makes us grateful people. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, do not be drunk with wine, but yet be filled with the Spirit. What happens when you're filled with wine? When you're filled with wine, it alters your character. It impairs your judgment. It causes you to behave differently than you would normally behave if you were not, we call it being under the influence. when you're filled with the Spirit, you're also under the influence. It causes you to behave in a way that's not natural to yourself. It causes, alters your behavior. It causes you to behave in a different way. It changes your judgment, but in a positive way because you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It says, be filled with the Spirit, singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to the Father, making melody in your heart. In essence, when you're filled with the Spirit, you become a singer. Oh yeah, let me say that again. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I don't like the worship because I'm not a singer. I'd just rather skip the worship because, you know, I don't, that whole karaoke thing with the people up front. I just don't know. That's just not me, Pastor. Well, let me tell you what happens. When you get filled with the Spirit, you become a singer. When people are happy, they sing. They hum. A song comes out. And what the Holy Spirit does is it makes you glad. It makes you happy. It focuses on the good, and you start singing and praising and thanking God because the Holy Spirit himself, when you're under control of the Holy Spirit, he starts to generate praise out of you. It's like something starts bubbling up inside of you. It's the praise activity because you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. People full of the Spirit are praisers. People full of the Spirit are positive, thankful. They focus on the good. They don't get stalled by the negative. They are people full of faith, generating praise and thanksgiving. And even though they may be going through the darkest trial, they do not lose their contentment. That's people full of the Spirit. So you need to start learning contentment by being a thankful person.
We're listening to Bold Steps in the Bible teaching of Mark Job. There's still more to come in the second half of today's lesson. But first, we want to remind you that if you ever miss our program on the radio, Mark, there are other ways you can catch up on Bold Steps.
That's right, Wayne. One of the easiest ways to find messages through our daily podcast. There's a lot of people that listen through podcasts. You can find it, by the way, if you search Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Job. And just tap the subscribe button and you'll get these podcasts uploaded for you.
And you can leave comments as well and reviews.
We love it when people leave comments and reviews as other people are searching your positive comments. Other people read them and it inspires them to listen as well.
Some listeners use smart speakers to listen, whether it's Alexa or Siri or any of those ladies who speak to us through with those speakers on.
The other day, my wife was changing the accent. The whatever voice it was aggravating her. You know, you could say, use a different accent. So,
all right. Well, just say, Alexa, enable Moody Radio, and then open Moody Radio and play Bold Steps with Mark Job. It's that easy. So check that out. Details are available, of course, at boldstepsradio.org. Let's move on to Mark Job's practical step number 2 for finding contentment.
Secondly, refuse to compare yourself with others. You see, some of us are very happy until someone, you know, you're so happy with the car that you had. And you're just, wow, I had this car. It's so cool. It's so nice. I didn't have a car before. I switched it out. And I know it's got 150,000 miles on it, but I am so happy with it. Until your neighbor pulls up with a new car. Then you're like, oh, this old piece of junk. Man, I don't like this car. Man, that's a nice car. Many of us develop discontentment because of a spirit of comparison. Spirit of comparison. Your little kid was real happy when you give him a cookie. But every parent knows that if his sibling gets a bigger cookie, he's like, why do I have this cookie? I want that one. It's just kind of built in us. We compare ourselves. It's this sense of, I want what they have. And I used to be happy with what I have, but now I'm not happy because I want what they have and I'm discontent with what I have. Listen, a spirit of comparison, a spirit of competition, that's called covetousness. It's the violation of one of the Ten Commands. It's called sin. God forbids it. It leads you to the flesh, not to the spirit, when you start comparing yourself. Listen, if you're single right now and you start comparing yourself to every married person around you, it can, especially, and of course, when you're single, you always compare yourself to the great marriages. Oh, look at that husband. He opened that door for her, put his arm around her. He's holding her hand. Now, why am I stuck in single? You're not comparing yourself to the person that aren't looking at each other, are fighting or screaming at each other. You're not saying, well, I wish I had that. No. We always compare ourselves to the best. And then if you're married and you're unhappy, you look at the single person that really seems to be happy and having a good time, and you're like, why am I stuck with this woman? He seems like he's having a great time. You see, comparison is the death of contentment. Listen to me, husband and wife. You have a spouse, your sole focus and attention should be on that spouse. Now, well, how does my spouse compare to that one over there? And No. Your sole focus should be on your spouse. Focus of your attention and love. The focus of your affection on your spouse. And learning to say, in my situation, God, what you've called me to, I'm not going to live in this world of comparison. You really want to get unhappy with your marriage, ladies? You know, it is a huge multi-million dollar business, the Harlequin romance novels. And you'll see the married women on the L into going into their work, and they're in a humdrum marriage where their husband doesn't pay a lot of attention to them, and they're reading these salacious novels of ripped six-pack lovers that are just saying romantic words and bringing over and giving kisses and you're reading that on the way to work, and you're saying, my old dirty husband with that big pop belly and stained t-shirt is nothing like this. Man, I'm unhappy. I want a guy like this. You know, some of that just creates a spirit of discontentment. It's just a fantasy world to make you unhappy with where you live. Guaranteed that in none of those novels, people have four or five kids running around. No one. That's not a part of the picture there. So a spirit of comparison. Number three, learn to say, when your heart seeks to get, wants something else, learn to say, that won't make me more content. You're at the car dealership, and the car dealer guy is telling you, man, you know, this is really a hot car. You should get this. I know you can't afford it right now, but, you know, your job's probably going to go up. Man, this is the latest model. And you picture yourself driving in that, and you think, man, if I had that, I'd be content. Learn to say, that will not make me more content. Learn to say, because there is nothing in life, circumstantial, physical, possession-wise, that will make you more content in the long run. It may make you happy for a month, and then you'll regret the payments that you have, but it will not make you more content. That person that becomes discontent with their marriage, and they start looking out the glass window with their face pressed against it and are tempted to have an affair, and they engage in an affair because in their heart they think, that will make me more content. But it's just a matter of months before they wake up to the reality that that has not made them more content. You need to learn to tell yourself, that will not make me more content. And then finally, you need to learn to tell yourself, Lord, you are more than enough. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have that relationship with God. Well, to cultivate it. Develop it. Scripture talks about the Lord satisfying the longings of our heart, filling us. Lord, you are more than enough. Lord, you are my portion. My boss is never going to tell me good job, but thank you that I hear from you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord. My spouse is never going to love me the way I need to be loved, but thank you, Lord, that your love is perfect and you love me in a powerful, unconditional way, God. Lord, I know that some people, their love is conditional. If I do well, they love me. If I don't do well, then they don't love me. Thank you, Lord, that your love is unconditional. You're not moody. One day you're up and down. No, God, you are consistent and faithful. Thank you, Lord. You see, learning to fill your love tank, so to speak, with the power of God and the goodness of God. And when you're walking around filled with the fullness of God, loved by the God of all creation, then when someone pours a little bit extra in your cup, then you overflow, but you're not hungry and thirsty for it. You're walking around filled already. Let me tell you why single people make bad decisions and married, and they just make these impulsive decisions, because if you're walking around empty, then someone that shows you a little bit of love or a little bit of affection, suddenly you're so dry and empty that you're like, okay, give me more and more. I'm desperate. You don't see all the flaws and issues. I know he just got out of jail. I know he doesn't have a job. I know he beat his old girlfriend up. But oh, he's such a nice guy. No, he's such a nice guy, really? You're so desperate that a little affection just blinds you. But if you're walking around filled with the love of God, overflowing with that security, your tank is full of the love of God, then you're not going to be swept up with every person that shows you a little attention, because you're going to say, I'm loved already. I'm full already. I'm not responding out of desperation. I'm making choices that are smart and well. Do you understand how that works? Some of you need to start saying today, I refuse to compare myself with others. This won't make me more content. And Lord, you are more than enough. In fact, I believe there's people listening to my voice right now that are struggling with discontentment. You're looking at your marriage, you're looking at your singleness, you're looking at your dating life, and you're just unhappy, you're discontent. And you know, that's a spiritual issue as well. I believe that the best decisions you make are out of a spirit of contentment and a spirit of fullness. So I want to pray for you and with you right now, that you would step into the contentment zone so that you can make good choices, not desperate choices. Father, I pray for that young lady right now that believes that her clock is ticking and she's discontent with her singleness and just wanting to jump at a relationship. I pray that you would give her a spirit of contentment. I pray for that young man right now, Father, that feels like he's incomplete unless he has a woman beside him. I pray that you would fill him with a spirit of contentment, Father, so that he can make a right choice about marriage and dating. I pray for that couple, Lord, that has gone through difficult times and is very discontent in their marriage. I pray that you would turn their hearts towards each other, not away from each other. And as they work through their issues, I pray that you would give them a spirit of hope and contentment, Father. I pray, God, no matter what our circumstances, that you would fill us with your love, that we would say you are more than enough and everything else is just overflow. I ask this, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Today's message is titled Finding Contentment. It's part of our new series called Before and After I Do. If you missed the start to this new study, or if you'd like to simply learn more about the ministry of Bold Steps, be sure to visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. Now, this month, we're excited to offer a couple's guide to a growing marriage as our Bold Steps gift. It's written by New York Times bestselling author and marriage counselor of over 40 years, Dr. Gary Chapman. With well-designed and biblically-based questions, practices, and discussion topics, this handbook will help you build a personalized Bible study for you and your spouse, or maybe with a group of other married couples to share in the growth process together. So if you're ready to start growing your marriage into the joyous union God intends it to be, Reach out today and request your copy of A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. We'll be happy to send it to you when you give a gift of any amount in support of this ministry. Just visit us online at boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. And if you'd rather send your donation and request for the book in the mail, you can write to us as well at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, that's all the time we have today. Tune in tomorrow, though, when Mark confronts the root of all marital struggles in a new message titled Fighting Forward. That's Friday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.